is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Dr. Ekin Erdemir, the Senior Director of the Turkey Program at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, to comment on the events of these last days, the G7, NATO, the EU, and the summit in Switzerland. From the point of view of Mr. Erdogan, the very powerful president of Turkey, Turkey is a member of NATO. At the same time, it is in constant conversation with Moscow because of history. And also, Mr. Erdogan has ambitions, neo-Ottomanist ambitions, to re-establish Turkey's power in the Mediterranean and Black Sea Basin. Ekin, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. Your measure of how Mr. Erdogan presented himself in the event that NATO declared Russia and China as an adversary. How does Mr. Erdogan, as a member of NATO, manage this? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me. Now, we all know that Erdogan has great ambitions, but we also know that he doesn't necessarily have the means. Turkey has been going through a financial meltdown, and for Erdogan, his first in-person meeting with President Biden was a great opportunity to see if improving bilateral relations would also improve Turkey's economic outlook. And Turkey has often leveraged playing a spoiler role within NATO as a key strategy to extract concessions from its NATO counterparts. So there was a lot of anticipation ahead of the NATO summit, as well as Erdogan's in-person meeting with Biden. I think to the market's disappointment, not much positive developments came out of that meeting. You know, Washington and Ankara appear to be where they are still. You know, CATSA sanctions are in place for Turkey's purchase of the S-400 Russian defense, air defense system. And there was a lot of cordial talk, but no concrete delivery. When you take a look at the market's reception, the Turkish lira that made some gains against US dollars ahead of the meeting collapsed following the meeting. So it erased basically all its gains. So if we take markets as our guide, it seems US Turkish and Turkey NATO relations are not necessarily on a recovery path, and this will remain a strained relationship.
Syria, the collapse of Syrian sovereignty these last years is a tragedy, a human-scale tragedy, because of the migrants seeking homes. However, most recently, much in the news, Idlib province, a portion of Syria, you're very well acquainted with the access route, maybe or maybe not, cut off by Russian forces, by Russian-Syrian forces. Assad in Damascus remains at odds with the members of his own country who want him removed. What is Turkey's role in this crisis and then this tragedy of famine and a complete collapse of the medical attention for people trapped in Idlib?
Now, Syria is one of the most complex dimensions of U.S.-Turkish relations, because on the one hand, U.S. and Turkey are on loggerheads. You know, when it comes to U.S. partnership with the Syrian Democratic Forces, a Syrian Kurdish-led partner against ISIS, Turkey sees this as an existential threat, because Turkey perceives the Syrian Democratic Forces as an extension of the insurgent PKK. But at the same time, Turkey and the United States see eye to eye when it comes to the need, the urgent need, to maintain and expand the number of border crossings into Syria for humanitarian aid. And we know that Russia and the Assad regime have been behind attempts to block these border crossings, because they really want to have a chokehold on Syria. So Syria remains a theater of action where Washington and Ankara both have room to cooperate, because they have aligned interests. But at the same time, also room to clash, given Turkey perceives an existential threat from U.S. action on the ground. Hence, this remains a very gray issue, because on the one hand, we see cooperation between Washington and Ankara. And on the other hand, we see Turkey, through the Astana process, coordinating with Russia and Iran when it comes to Syria. So there are a lot of contradictory dynamics at work, but I guess that is how the Syrian, theater of action plays out.
We're told in the news that Russia's investigating re-establishing air traffic between Russia and Turkey, between Moscow and Istanbul. This was a vacation paradise for the Russians, south in the summertime, the beautiful Black Sea coast of Turkey. Is that a positive step, or is this business as usual and the tourist collapse was unsustainable, and now that the pandemic lifts, both sides are being practical? Or are these early steps of rapprochement?
Now, over the years, Putin has leveraged, flow of Russian tourists into Turkey as his main, blackmail option, because Turkish tourism industry is highly dependent on Russian tourists, who happen to be the number one, source of tourists for Turkey. And when bilateral relations are strained between Moscow and Ankara, we see Putin, blocking these flights. He also stops Turkish agricultural products from coming into Russia. And we also have to keep in mind Turkey's natural gas dependency on Russia. So Putin has quite a number of, trump cards in this relationship. So when now there are these deliberations to ease those, restrictions, this would be a lifeline to Turkey's struggling economy. But of course, the key question is, what does Putin get in exchange for relaxing these restrictions? And we can always assume Putin has interests not only in Syria, but also in Ukraine, as in the Eastern Med. Turkey, although playing a spoiler role within NATO, is also a potential counterweight to Russia. So Putin would really like to strengthen his hand against the Turkish government.
Your essay in The Hill spoke of human rights, especially religious freedom. What is it that anyone can do from the outside about religious freedom in Turkey, Ekin? And we have about a minute.
Now, I think one of the most distressing aspects of Turkey's democratic backsliding has been the state of minority rights and religious freedoms in Turkey. Erdogan runs an Islamist ultra-nationalist bloc, and they have been scapegoating Turkey's Christians and Jews for a while. While that serves him well in terms of voter support, that is really tearing the Turkish fabric apart. I think it's really important that Washington, together with the European Union, exert pressure on Turkey to commit to its signatures under the European Convention on Human Rights, as well as other international treaties that, should force it to respect freedom of religion or belief.
20 seconds, Ekin. Is Erdogan a winner or loser after the NATO conference? Your measure. 20 seconds.
Now, the markets tell him that he is a loser. The lira is going down again, and people see no progress on the horizon. So I guess, despite what the Turkish media says, Erdogan has no path forward.
Ekin Erdemir of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.